Well, good morning. It is so good. Great worship, great time. And it's kind of weird. We're going to be starting our new series soon on preparing for revival, which I really cannot wait for. I think that's going to be an amazing sermon series, and it's really going to change us. It's going to change our hearts. And Clive said to sort of me the other day, he goes, bring a preacher. And I said, you know, what do you want me to preach on? He went, whatever God places on your heart. And I think as any preacher, it's like, oh, great, it's easier to go with a pattern, isn't it? You know, it's like, right, now I've got to go and spend time with God, see what God wants to say. And the thing that God wants me to talk to you about today was actually inspired and encouraged by a friend of mine who has been in the faith for a short time, but this person has just been such an encouragement and a blessing to my life. And I was having a conversation with my friend. They were going through something, and we were just chatting back and forth. And then the next day, the person said that what I was going through has stopped. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, what happened? Like, tell me about it. And the person said that, well, I didn't pray for breakthrough. I didn't pray for God to remove it. But instead, I prayed for God to change the desires of my heart. And the next day, I woke up and I was in breakthrough and I was in freedom. Amen? And that got me thinking. That really touched me. That really encouraged me to the point where, actually, if we really want to see God work in our lives, we need to ask God to transform the desires of our hearts. Amen? So that is the title of my preach this morning, the transformation of our heart's desires. How do you get the true desires of your heart? In Ezekiel 36:26 says this, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Amen? Amen. So God today, I believe that today's message is an important message where God is going to come and do heart surgery on us today. God's going to come and bring a message that's going to bring a change in your life where God wants to meet you where you're at. And all of us are in different places, but God wants to meet with you where you're at, and he wants to reveal to you the true desires that are in your heart that God placed in there. As I believe that some of us here, we're crying out for breakthrough. We're crying out for breakthrough, but we're hitting brick walls. We're crying out for change, but we're still stuck in the same position. We're still stuck in the same mindset. We're crying out for freedom from pain, from suffering, from brokenness, from sin. And we want our life. Our lives have been on cruise control. We've been sort of just cruising in routine where our life hasn't been cultivating, where our life has not been going anywhere. It's not been getting better for us. But I believe that God wants you to leave here today transformed as we no longer look at life through eyes of doubt, limitation, stress, sin, and pain, but instead look at life with a changed view as God filters through all your troubles. He filters through all the clutters of your heart and brings out the fullness of life and brings to the surface the true desires of your heart that God has placed in you. Do you want that, church? Are we ready for heart surgery today? Deuteronomy 30 says, "The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul so that you may live." Let me ask you something. Have you ever prayed for something but felt like God wasn't listening when you didn't receive it? It's important to remember that praying isn't a sure ticket. It's not the sure way of getting what we want. But increasing our faith and finding happiness in God's guidance will eventually bring about our heart's desires. And then once we strengthen our relationship with God, we will start to get what we want out of life. How can you know that the desires of your heart are truly from God? How do you know that what you desire in life is truly from God? The cost of not following God's desires for your heart is spending the rest of eternity wishing that you did. Psalm 73 says, "Whom am I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth, but my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart." I urge you in this time, God is in a season where he is pouring out. And this is the time where each morning we should be spending time talking with God. And it's a great time of silence and solitude and a time where you can really meet with your Father in heaven and dedicate your day and soak in his presence. And I'll give you an example of when I was actually preparing this. One morning last week, God reminded me, as I was pouring out my heart to him, I voiced something that really surprised me. I said to God, I said, Lord, there is truly nothing on this earth. There is truly nothing in this world that compares to you. My greatest desire is to walk in your presence daily. And that absolutely surprised me. The words were true from my heart, but they were as sincere as I could possibly be. But they came from somewhere deep inside of me that really surprised me. And I'll tell you why. Because God did heart surgery on me 9 years ago. About 9 years ago, my life had fallen apart. I lost my faith. I lost relationships through dating, through family falling out, through friendships, relationships being broken down. I was losing a lot. I lost the job that I was so happy in. I lost my money. I lost everything. In such a short space of time, I suffered a great loss in my life. And in that moment, I was so angry with God. I was so angry with God, wondering, why on earth did I give my life to follow you? Why on earth did I give my life to serve you? And I cried out and I began to run away from God, convinced that I could live my life on my own accord. I can live it by my own strength. And after all, his way didn't work out for me. His way ain't working out for good for me at that time. But eventually, through the Father's pursuit of me, I surrendered to God and I came to understand that I am his at the very core of my being. And even though I wanted to run, there was still nowhere I could hide. There was nowhere that I could hide from God, and God wanted to pursue me because he had a firm grip on my life and I was willing to give his way another try. Has anyone ever been in that position? Are you in that position right now where you feel like, well, God, where are you in my life? Are you far from God? Because I can tell you now, God is pursuing your heart this morning. But I was still hurting. My future was unsure. Like everyone else, I longed to love and I longed to be loved. I longed to be successful. I longed for that nice little paycheck, that nice house, that nice car, beautiful wife, kids, you know, all the dream fairy tale stuff that comes out of it. I longed for that. And one afternoon, I remember spending one afternoon with God, and I just remember my tears crying down my eyes. And I just said to God, I said, God, I want to want you more than anything else in my life. But if I'm honest right now, I want the desires of my heart more than I actually want you right now. I want money and success and marriage more than I want you, God. And in that moment, as those words escaped my mouth in anger and in hurt, I felt this amazing presence of God come upon me. And a sweet, gentle whisper of his spirit as he told me that, Sam, everything is going to be all right. That God actually understood how I felt. And somewhere in that moment, I knew that God had a plan. Somehow I knew that he had everything under control and that he understood that my heart's greatest desire was for that, but not for him. God knew that. But what I didn't know was the amazing journey that was beginning, a journey that God was going to take me on to change my heart's greatest desire, which I couldn't even begin to imagine how he would take my heart from a place of pain, of longing to love and be loved and successful, to a place of complete contentment in him. And the journey has been long and difficult. As Lloyd said, he can tell stories of me in the past. They've been long and they've been difficult. They've been ups. Believe me, there's been so many highs and so many lows that I can talk to you about. But the question is, how did I make the journey? How did my desires become so completely transformed? And the question is, do you want your desires to be transformed? Do you want God to transform your heart today? And I'm just going to give you three ways that helped me do it. And the three ways are surrender, focus, and delight. Amen? So the first point, surrender. So my journey began with a moment of surrender where I told him that I didn't want this journey. I didn't want God to use me. I didn't want God to take me on this journey where he wanted to take me. But in obedience, I said, but God, I'm going to do it anyway and I'm going to follow you. And a moment when I asked him to do an amazing work in me so that he could do an amazing work through me, and I had no idea what the journey would entail. But the one thing I simply knew is I was willing to take a chance. I was willing to take a risk on God again. And there have been other moments of surrender as well where I suddenly become face to face of something that I never thought I actually had. I came face to face with pride. Pride is not a good thing in the presence of God. I came face to face with that. I came face to face with selfish ambitions in my heart, and they were ruling the actions that I would act out in my life. And I spent one evening sobbing over my sins and over surrendering everything to Jesus. And it was immediately following those moments of surrender that I began to see and experience God moving in a mighty way in my life, which I have never been the same since. Amen? So my first point in all of this, surrender to God. Don't surrender half. Don't surrender your change. Surrender it all to God. Surrender your heart to God. Surrender your future to God. Surrendering means leaving everything to God. Proverbs 3, the book of wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. What area of your life have you not surrendered to God yet? Maybe you've surrendered your kitchen or your living room to God, but what about your bedroom? What about your storage cupboard? Some of you may not have surrendered your sex lives to God. Some of you may think, well, I know God says that no sex before marriage, but you know what? I'm going to do it my way. Maybe that's why you're under stress. Maybe that's why you're hurting. Some of you may not have surrendered your finances to God. God says to you that we should give the first 10% of our tithe. And some of you may say, yeah, I know God says that, but I can't afford that. I can't risk that. I can't afford that tithe. Maybe that's why you're under stress with finances. Maybe that's why you're not seeing financial blessings in your life. Some of you may not have surrendered your relationships to God. This could be friendships. This could be pastoral. This could even be parents with your children. Have you surrendered your relationships with your children to your God? Maybe that's why you're under stress. Maybe that's why you're tired all the time. Some of you may not have surrendered a secret sin to God, or maybe it's a hurt, maybe it's a habit or an addiction, or maybe it's something in your life which God is speaking to you right now on that you haven't surrendered to God yet. But the most important thing is, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Now we can all, I'm pretty sure most of us here can turn around and say, yeah, I've given my life to Jesus, he's in my life, hallelujah, amen. But truly, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you surrendered it to God by saying, God, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I hold up my white flag and I'm just going to do it your way, God. I want peace. I don't want stress. It's time to stop fighting what you're going through in life. It's time to stop fighting what you think that you can control and release it and let God, surrender it to God and let him do a work in your life. Surrendering it to God is the ultimate expression of your faith in him. Amen. Amen. So, after surrendering to this most unwelcome journey of my life, God began this process of healing my heart. As I allowed him to access the broken pieces, I found myself hungering for more of him. I found myself desiring more of God. I found myself wanting more. I found myself coming into church and just wanting to worship freely and just praise God. I found myself reading the Bible. And for those of you that know me, you know reading is not part of my forte. First of all, I can read. I just don't like it. You know, I spoke to my friend the other day, like, Sam, I haven't seen you in years. Like, where you been? Like, I said to him, what do you mean? We didn't even see each other in school. You was in those smart classes and I was in the other classes if I ever turned up. But like, reading was never my thing. And I remember trying to read the Bible. It's so full of amazing stories, but I struggled with reading. I remember being on leaders' meetings and we'd say, like, Sam, as you're reading, as you're praying, it's like, well, as good as it could be, you know. But I remember in this moment, I really hungered for God. I really wanted to hear from God. And I found myself just opening the Word of God, reading the stories of Jesus, and started to see the gospel come alive in my life. And I also found ways of focusing on him throughout the day. I found myself listening to worship or podcasts while on my way to work or while just walking to the church or any time in a moment where I felt like I had peace, I just put worship music on and just started to listen to God. And I began to sense this beautiful future that God was preparing for me as he was changing my heart and my desire. And I began to trust in him to lead me into it. And I began to see the purpose in the pain that I had suffered. My second point is, after surrender, we need to focus on God. Let God be your focus in life. And when you focus on God, let God focus your desires. Let God focus your passions in life. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. If anyone listens to my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will eat together. God gave you a heart. God gave you a heart that he placed passions and desires and emotions in. He placed dreams in your heart. But unless they're under his control, they will be misused and abused and wasted in your life. All around the world, there are millions of passionate people that are misusing and abusing their interests and ambitions in life. And it breaks God's heart when this happens. That's why, despite their talent and passion, you'll find that the most successful people in life are actually unhappy. That when our passions are misused, it makes us miserable. I look at, does anyone here know The Rock? When I say The Rock, do anyone here know The Rock? Yeah? If you submit, no, I'm joking, I'm not going to do it. No, but The Rock, right, he was a successful WWE superstar, and then he went on to Hollywood. He is the biggest and most successful actor in Hollywood right now, to the point where Hollywood doesn't tell him what they want him to do. He tells Hollywood what he wants to do. And he came out as Forbes' most highest paid actor, and he was in an interview, and people were going like, this is amazing, like, such a successful career, blah, 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 like, how do you feel? And he said, actually, you know what, I'm suffering with great depression right now. Amongst all that money and success and fame, he was still suffering with depression. Michael Phelps, everyone knows Michael Phelps, the most successful Olympic swimmer of all time, absolute legend in the pool. When questioned about how do you feel now that you've retired and how do you feel when you were in that place of all that winning and gold, etc., even he suffered depression. When your passions and desires are misused, it makes us miserable. And now you might be thinking, well, actually, Sam, you know what? I'm not really passionate about anything right now. You know what that means, don't you? It means that you are disconnected from God. You cannot be connected to God and dispassionate at the same time. When you are plugged into God, it's like plugging into a power supply. You get passionate, you get energy, you become alive, you come on fire, and you're able to do all the things that God has called you to do. God is a passionate God, and the only reason that we have emotions is because that we're made in God's image. And God is emotional, and God gets jealous when he sees you ignoring him for something else. God loves you with an everlasting love, and no matter what you do, he will always love you. That's passion. When you spend time with God daily and get plugged into his desire, you can't help but be passionate yourself, and you start to develop God's heart for the world, and you start to feel the way that he does. And has anyone ever heard that expression? Who you hang out with really does make a difference in your life. Yeah, has anyone ever heard that expression? When you spend time with God, if you hang out with God, the more you become like him. Amen? Would you like to have more energy and enthusiasm in life? The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek words entheos, which means in God. So when you get entheos, when you get in God, you're going to be enthusiastic. And the closer you get to God, the more energy, vitality, and passion that you will have in life. The further away you get from God, the more bored and apathetic you become in life. The closer you get to God, the more you open up your heart to him as well. That Revelations verse that I read out earlier, Jesus is at the door and he is knocking in your heart. Yeah, he's in your heart. You've let him in. But there are areas of your heart which Jesus wants to get into. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to bust the door down. He's going to keep knocking and patiently waiting for you to let him in. We're the ones that has to open the doors for Jesus to come in. Philippians 3 says, forgetting the past. I feel like this is a theme this morning, as Lloyd was saying earlier, and someone else shared a word with me about not looking back at the past, not looking backwards, but always looking forwards. Philippians 3 says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us to today. Amen? Amen. My third point, delight. So as my focus started to change from the hurts of the past and the hurts from where I were to the beauty of my future, I began to find delight in my Savior. I began to see him use me to help others who were walking through the same and difficult situations in their life. And it's overwhelming to know that God would even consider me a worthy vessel to use. It's overwhelming to know that God would consider us a worthy vessel for him to use and to bring his power into this world. But I knew that I was delighting in nothing more than my Saviour Jesus Christ, constantly humbled and amazed by the goodness of God. Amen. Psalm 37 says, "Take delight in the Lord and he will give your heart's desires. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait passionately for him to act." Do you want to know how you delight in the Lord? You start to serve God. You start to spend time with God. You start praising God. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, Romans 12:3 says. That kind of, basically it says they listen to your heart. Kind of sounds like a bit pop culture food right there, but the Bible says that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to listen to your heart. He wants you to look at what you're made to do and to know what he wants you to do. But most people these days are moving so fast that they don't have time to listen to their heart anymore. People are all over the world speeding around life. You look at London and walk through London during rush hour. Everyone's just hustling and bustling and speeding through. No one's got time to take a breath. No one's got time to stop. Everyone's speeding along with no direction in life. And they're in such a hurry and stress with too much to do that they won't realize it until it's too late that actually you didn't have to do too much in the first place. This isn't the plan that God has for us. He wants us to slow down and listen to our hearts. And I'm encouraging you to get alone with God and ask yourself these questions. God, what is it that I love to do? God, what is it that I dream of doing? God, what is it that fascinates me? God, what can I talk or study or think about all day long without getting bored? Where have I been most effective in life? Where can I improve in life? It's there. It's in those moments with God and in that discussion with God that we learn that we serve God delightfully out of our design and not out of duty. I'll say that again. We serve God delightfully out of our design and not out of duty. And I pray that everybody learns that truth quickly. You serve God out of your design, out of the way that he shaped you, out of the way that he made you. You don't serve God out of duty or guilt or force because you serve God, but because you love him. Because when you do what he wired you to do, it brings glory to him. And we need to make a careful examination of who we are and the work that we've been given. In other words, what did God place you on earth to do? What did God put on your heart to accomplish in life? Then serve God out of delight and gratitude. That is the way to live. And I don't know, let's be honest, is God the greatest desire of your life right now? I don't know if you can say that. I don't know if you can like say with the psalmist, like, God is awesome, God is amazing. But I do know that God can take you to that place. When we surrender and focus and delight in him, he will change the desires of our heart in amazing ways, and we will find a place of incomparable change and peace in our life. And you want to know something else? If you want this change, real change requires faith. Real change in life requires knowing God's truth, and real change requires faith. In other words, you must believe that you can change with God's help. And how does God help you change? He transformed you by his Spirit living in you and his word, the Bible. Ephesians 3 says, "Glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes." What is the biggest thing that you want to change in your life? What is the area in your life which you want to bring life to? No matter how big it is, it's not too big for God. And we need to stop looking at the situation, telling God how big our situation is, but look at our situation and tell our situation how big our God is. Maybe you're tired and failed to make a change. Maybe you've tried and failed to make a change on your own. And that's because the reality is you weren't supposed to do it on your own. You change with God's power. And how do you get God's power? It's through faith. And God supplies his power in response to your faith in him. Philippians 4 says this, and it's the Amplified version. I can do all things through which things which he has called me to do, through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything, and through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. With the power of Jesus Christ, you can do anything that God has called you to do. And his power was infused in you when you became his follower. And if you want that change, then we need to get a can-do attitude, but not a big ego about what we can do, but a big faith in our God and what he can do. Jesus said in Matthew 9 about your faith, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Jesus says, in your faith, it is already being done. You get to choose how much you get to change in your heart. You get to choose how much God blesses your life. You get to believe in faith that God can help you make those hard changes in life. And when you start praying for breakthrough, you're going to find that your prayer evolves and develops as you home in on what you really want. And everyone here has desires. The reason you have desires is because God put them in you. All of God's gifts are good, but a desire can be misused and abused and perverted. For instance, I said it this morning, fire is good in a fireplace, but fire in the wrong place can burn a house down. There are good desires in your life, and there are bad ones too. There are appropriate and inappropriate desires in your life. There are helpful and harmful desires in your life. There are constructive and deconstructive desires in your life. But when you pray persistently, your desires are filtered and God reveals which desires are good and which are not. And as you pray persistently, your heart is turned more and more towards God and the things that he loves. And then you begin to desire those things that honor God and keep him first in your heart. And there is almost nothing that God won't do for any man or woman or child who puts God first in every area of their life. And God is not stingy. God is just waiting for you to ask. Are you ready to surrender and focus and delight yourself in the Lord your God?